keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
Good evening, everybody. Hello, welcome to the Reading FC Transfer Show. My own iPad notifies me that we are now live. It's the first one of these we've done in a little while, and it's been about a month. I think it's been a couple of new arrivals since then, most notably, of course, Shane Long, who we talked about in depth in the last one of these, is finally over the line and back in a Reading shirt. Jeff Hendrick as well. Sam Hutchinson has completed a successful trial, is through the door, as has Nesta Guinness-Walker and Mamadou Loom as well. So plenty of new arrivals since our last show, although we are going to be focusing mostly on hopefully a couple more new arrivals over the next few weeks. It is exactly 4 weeks until transfer deadline day, which I'd like to say that I planned, but I didn't. We weren't going to do this show yesterday, but handily, we are now exactly 4 weeks. This time in 4 weeks' time, hopefully, we're looking at a busy last few hours of the transfer window. As you can see, if you are watching live on YouTube, I'm joined by Ben Thomas View from the Dolan Writer from the Tilehurst End and Berkshire Live's Reading FC reporter, Jonathan Lowe. Thank you very much to you both for joining me, and thank you to all of you at home for tuning in. Please do drop your comments in down below and get involved. We'll read all the PG ones out. But let's get started then, both. I'm going to start with a pretty straightforward question. Hopefully it's straightforward for both of you. We've got 4 weeks until deadline day. Ben, what transfer business do Reading still need to do?
From my point of view, I feel like we need a striker, because there's obviously quite a few rumours today circulating about new injuries. Potentially could be Mate. We know obviously Jao's out for a bit. We know Long's out, so it's leaving us very, very, very light up top, really. I think the positive is that there is 4 weeks. I think realistically, I can see the club trying, and I haven't seen that in previous years. I feel like they're really trying to get stuff over the line. Obviously, we'll talk about Naby Sarr a little bit later on, but that seems to be dragging its heels a little bit. I don't think from our point of view, it's more the EFL's point of view, but certainly a striker, I think, would be priority. With all due respect to Nesta Guinness-Walker, obviously he did reasonably well over pre-season, which is what earned him the contract as a permanent signing, but didn't play particularly well up at Blackpool. So you would look to probably strengthen the left-hand side. Obviously we'll talk about Hutchinson as well as a rumour, but yeah, certainly left-hand side and striker would be the key points for me at the moment, for sure.
Jonathan, pretty much in agreement with those with Ben?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Perhaps one more in central midfield, either in that kind of more attacking role or equally sort of a defensive role as well, kind of in the sort of, Laurent Renamota mould. I have to agree with Ben. Certainly left back is still very much a priority. And up front, you can never be, never have too many strikers. And Reading, I'm sure, like every other club, is always would like one more striker to bring in. So I think that would probably be at least two or three more arrivals, possibly four if we're greedy, but we'll have to wait and see.
We can never be too greedy, I think, this summer, considering that pretty much the whole squad was decimated at the end of the last campaign. So the more players, the better. But obviously at the moment, throughout this whole summer, we have been dealing with EFL restrictions and having to get every deal cleared by the EFL, and none more so than this Naby Sarr deal that seems to be dragging on forever, really, Jonathan. We saw a picture on social media of him in a Reading shirt last week, posted by, I'm not sure whether it's his agent or his friend, but it has been swiftly deleted off Instagram. Someone has realised they've made a bit of a mistake. But as far as we can see, Naby Sarr is in a Reading shirt. So what is the hold up here? Because, as I say, we know that, the club have to get every transfer deal checked by the EFL this summer, but we've not seen one take this long before, I don't think.
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? Obviously, it's been going around for quite a while now. I mean, I've seen a couple of rumours about, but you know, there's speculation that he's going to get a 4-year deal, and maybe there's some question marks over that. I mean, spoke to Paul Ince this morning, and you know, he's hopeful that it would happen by next week, whatever that means. But clearly, that there's some issue with it. There is no issue with him signing for Reading, though, because I did put that to Paul Ince. I asked him, you know, is there, are you going to get to a stage where actually EFL, you can forget about this deal, we'll move on and get our next target in? But he said no, we'll get him in. He's not quite fully up to speed, I don't think, yet in terms of match fitness, so that'll be something to work on obviously once he does get over the line. But you know, I think the Mark Bowen's been up with to the EFL, I think, in person to try and sort of speed things up and hopefully get the deal over the line sooner rather than later. So you know, I think it still, well, I'm positive it will very much happen. What the exact hold up is, I don't know. Clearly, you know, there's some issue with it because the other deals haven't taken this long, I imagine it's something in the finer details of the contract which is ringing a few alarm bells. But hopefully, they can be ironed out sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say tentatively, Ben, that if this deal does, you know, hopefully get over the line, it seems like a pretty good signing to me. You know, Naby Sarr, he's 28 years old, so he's theoretical prime age. You know, a lot of the players we're signing this summer are either, you know, sort of 30 plus and sort of, you know, beyond their peak, or sort of younger players coming in on loan. You know, whereas Naby Sarr is, you know, 28 years old, centre back. He played 25 games for Huddersfield in the Championship last season, including starting in the Championship playoff final. So if it does go through, it seems like a pretty good deal, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's, very few Reading fans would be, you know, not excited by that signing. He kind of fits the mould of what, you know, the hierarchy are trying to do at the moment. You know, provides a little bit more solidity at the back there, which is what we need. You know, Hutchinson's obviously injured as well, which is ideal. So he was probably one of our best performers in pre-season, and he's already out. So Sarr kind of comes in and for me, strengthens the starting 11. I think the only downside really from what I can see is obviously Paul Ince talking today about Sarr coming in and moving Tom McIntyre to the left, which for me wouldn't work in the balance of the team. But, you know, that's for them to decide as coaching staff. But, you know, as a signing, fantastic. You know, really, really good. Clearly is excited to be here as well. Overexcited agent or friend, as you mentioned, has already whacked it up on social media. And I think that probably didn't help the expectations of the fan base, because we all felt it was quite imminent at that point. It's difficult to be, you know, obviously the EFL is the EFL and we've all got opinions on that, but it's difficult to be overly critical because it's all self-inflicted from our point of view historically. So, you know, we've just got to play the game and you know, tick the boxes and do what they say for a little while and get these players through. But it is a surprise, you know, as Jonathan said, that it's taken this long when others haven't. You know, consider Jeff Hendrick came out of nowhere. You know, Hutchinson obviously was more about performances rather than anything else contract wise, from what I understand. So it's an interesting dynamic there at the moment. But for sure, you know, he will be an excellent signing and addition. And, you know, as a permanent signing, that's what we want, really, isn't it? We don't want too many loan deals at this stage. We want sort of longevity in the squad.
Yeah, I mean, no complaints for me in terms of what's happening with the EFL. As you say, you know, we got ourselves into this mess. We have to take our medicine at this point. And, you know, that's been the case for the last couple of years. And, you know, quite frankly, the football club deserves everything it gets in terms of the restrictions that's been placed upon it. You know, considering, you know, what, 3 years ago, this time of year, we were splashing crazy amounts of money that quite frankly, you know, was beyond our means. So, yeah, anything we do get from the EFL is quite frankly deserved. Thank you very much for all your comments that are coming in. Quite a lot on the injuries that I can see. Which I suppose almost goes beyond the realms of this transfer show, but I will put it to Jonathan in just a minute once we check off a couple more points. Ben, you mentioned earlier that the left-back situation, obviously Nestor Guinness-Walker coming in and Paul Ince potentially moving Tom McIntyre over to the left-hand side. And yeah, that certainly seems to be probably, you know, one of the key areas that the Reading still do need to invest in. As you say, Nestor Guinness-Walker coming in late last week, just before the first game of the season against Blackpool, having been on trial over the last couple of weeks, made his debut against Blackpool. was a little bit shaky, we have to be honest. But, you know, ultimately, you kind of expect that from a player who is, I think he's still, what, 22 years old. He's played the last three seasons at League One level with AFC Wimbledon. You know, was a regular in the Wimbledon side. Like, he got nearly 85, 90 appearances over the last three seasons. But ultimately, he's not played higher than League One. You know, he's had quite a remarkable football journey, really. He was in the academies of Chelsea and Tottenham, you know, at a very early age, but was then released by then and sort of was playing Sunday League football until sort of the age of 16, 17, and has gradually worked its way up, you know. So it's a credit to him that he's got, you know, now to, you know, the second tier in English football. But I suppose, you know, that comes with a caveat that, you know, it is quite a big step up for him, and he's not going to be ready to be playing regular football week in, week out in the Championship. Jonathan, is there a sense from Paul Ince? I think he said, his quote here is, "We are fishing from the bottom of the pond in terms of left backs," which he did precede that with "no disrespect," which, you know, it's one of those things where you say no disrespect, but quite frankly, you are almost offending anyone you do sign now. So, you know, obviously that is the situation that Reading find themselves in, but any left back coming in knows they are essentially the bottom of the pond. But is that a target area for Paul Ince over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, very much so. I think just regarding those comments, in his slight defence, I think it's more like the club situation is the fact that they are pretty much last in the queue, you know, for obvious reasons. So hopefully not too many people are going to take offence to that remark. But yes, you know, left back is still very much a priority. Yes, Walker, I think, was, to be honest, I think it's fair to say that he was brought in just to bulk up numbers more than anything. I think, you know, Ince has seen something in him, but he's certainly not kind of his first choice for the whole season. You know, he's alluded to his age, he's alluded to the facts, you know, like you said, he's been at League One level the past 3 years. So still very much learning. Had a tough afternoon at Blackpool last weekend. You know, hopefully he can progress, and he's obviously hungry and willing to learn and show that he can make the step up to this level, and let's hope he does. So yeah, they are still looking at left backs. He said he's got a couple in mind, and hopefully that perhaps, you know, one, maybe even two can happen next week. But who knows with Reading and their transfer business and the EFL and everything like that. Yeah, I mean, the other thing to bear in mind as well is that the loan situations, they've got four players on loan at the moment. They can only have five in any matchday squad. They can have seven actually in the overall squad, only five are on every matchday. So I'm sure we'll mention Amari Hutchinson in a minute, but obviously if he comes in, he'll be the fifth loan signing, which means then potentially, you know, if you want to bring in a left back on loan, you're going to have to leave someone else out. So there's various complications around that as well, which I'm sure they're having to factor into their conversations.
Yeah, you have led me very nicely on to Amari Hutchinson. I saw him mention as well that sort of too many loan signings can almost affect, you know, not necessarily team morale, but in terms of the makeup of the squad and sort of the mentality of the squad, where, you know, we've seen it before. I think it was 2015-16 under Steve Clark, where they brought in a whole host of loan players, you know, from the good to the bad, in terms of Alex Fernandez and Lucas Piazon and Ola John and people like that. Where ultimately, you know, yeah, they might be good players, they might be talented players, but ultimately they know they're not going to be at Reading beyond the end of the season. So ultimately, if it comes down to a relegation scrap, they know they can go back to, you know, whatever club, you know, they've come from, probably higher up the pyramid than Reading, and they're not going to be too harshly affected by it. You know, sometimes you do get loanees, you know, who do very much care for the club, and we were very lucky in that sense. And was it 18-19? I'll get my seasons confused now, with Nelson Oliveira and Matt Miazga and Lewis Baker and Emi Martinez, who all really bought into the project under Jose Gomez. So you can get lucky in that sense. But yeah, Amari Hutchinson is this loan target. Actually, one comment actually quickly from RFC 1871 on Nestor Guinness Walker. Says, "I was at Bloomfield Road on Saturday, Reading were toothless. Nestor Guinness Walker is out of place at this level, as what the Wimbledon fans said about him. And yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with the fact that he didn't have the best game on Saturday, but I think from my perspective, we almost have to have a little bit of patience with these signings, particularly someone like Nestor Guinness-Walker, who is stepping up. I think everybody was surprised that, you know, he's come up to this level, particularly, as you say, you know, Wimbledon fans, you know, he was part of a Wimbledon team that got relegated last season. So it is a bit of a surprise to see him step up the championship level. But, you know, to use Paul Ince's quote, we are fishing from the bottom of the pond. You know, we're not going to be getting star players in, you know, who have been in the Premier League, who've been top end of the championship. That's where Reading are this summer, I think, in terms of getting those quality players in. So, you know, yes, Nestor Guinness-Walker perhaps isn't up to scratch at this moment in time. And, you know, I don't think anybody really would be confident with him being Reading's first choice left back throughout this season. Hopefully that's what the rest of the transfer window is for in terms of getting a new player in. But hopefully patience needed with him. Let's move on to Amari Hutchinson then. Very highly rated young player, 18 years old. Moved from Arsenal to Chelsea this summer. 6 goals, 6 assists for Arsenal's under-23s in the Premier League 2 last season. He's an attacking midfielder, can also play out wide on the right, so sort of two areas that Reading haven't really addressed in the transfer window this summer, obviously, since John Swift left, you know, not really got in that new number 10. Jonathan, by all accounts, this seems fairly close.
Sorry. I don't know. I asked Paul Ince about it earlier on, and he was quite dismissive of it. Didn't deny it outright or anything, but it's perhaps not quite as close as everyone's kind of making out. I think obviously they're very much monitoring the situation, and as I said before about the loan situation as well. I think he is definitely going to be going out on loan at some point over the next 4 weeks or so from Chelsea. So, and obviously Reading and Chelsea have got this good connection as well. So, you know, hopefully that they can get out over the line, but I can't see it being, you know, the next 24, 48 hours or so. You know, if it does happen, I imagine it would be kind of, you know, in the next week, 2 weeks. There's no point in hanging around right to the end of the window just to see how many clubs he's got queuing up for him. You know, I'm sure lots of clubs would take him, but you know, Chelsea and Reading is obviously a short move geographically, and you know, I'm sure he'd get plenty of game time here. So if they can get the deal done, then I'm sure they will. And you know, it could well depend on Reading getting a couple of players out, whether it's sort of the youngsters on loan or, you know, someone like George Puskas to help kind of free up the wage bill, then so be it. So So I think it's certainly one to keep an eye on, and you know, it could well happen, but I don't think it will happen, you know, imminently.
Yeah, I mean, again, someone, you know, obviously he is very highly rated, Amari Hutchinson, but again, someone, Ben, who we probably are going to have a little bit of patience with. You know, he's still only 18 years old. He's not got a single minute of senior club football to his name. I think he made his debut for Jamaica, senior international team, earlier this year, but someone who, you know, yes, he's got, you know, obviously got a huge amount of talent because he's just moved from Arsenal to Chelsea, you know, very highly rated by people who sort of watch academy level football. But he is going to be someone we have to have a little bit of patience with, I think, if he does come in.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that excites me the most is the versatility. And you know, we know from watching the team last year, we're overly reliant on Swift in terms of creativity. And I think we're going to have to start sharing that around, whether that's, you know, 2-3 players, whether that's more than that. People have got to step up now, and if he comes in and he plays, great. You know, that's good for his career progression, but we've got players in the squad already that need to really step up to be able to meet that challenge of filling the void of creativity that we've lost, really. You know, you go back to the Blackpool game, second half we were a lot better attacking wise than we were first half. You know, same with some of the games in pre-season. So there is the talent there, but it's the application that I've always said is key. And we need some of those existing players to step up. Obviously, stay injury free, which would be delightful at this stage. But you know, people like Ajaria, Tom Ince, you know, Mate, they've all got to step up now. And if Hutchinson comes in, he's going to have to do that too. And it's going to be difficult to come into a team that's sort of, you know, realistically, as we've said, going to be nearer the bottom of the championship. But you know, it seems like a good move potentially for him long term. You know, it will stand him in good stead, hopefully, and go from there. But, you know, the sooner we've got the squad together and Reading say, that's it, we're done, it will be a lot happier as fans. I don't think that will be until the window shuts. I still think we'll be going right up to the line. As Jonathan said, whether that's players coming out or going out on loan, rather, or coming in. But we really need to get the squad, you know, bedded in now and start to pick up points. I know it's only first game of the season, but another tough test on Saturday against Cardiff, who, you know, being Norwich, who are one of the favourites for the title of the season, got Rotherham away, Stevenage in between that. So it's good opportunities for these players to stake their claims. They've just got to do it. And if Hutchinson is coming in to be part of that, then so be it.
Yeah, I mean, it is still a fairly depleted team at the moment. You know, it was a subs bench on Saturday against Blackpool, made up of mostly younger players under 35-year-old Shane Long. You did mention there, Ben, the injuries, which we will begrudgingly touch on, I think, just because there are so many questions on it, Jonathan. We'll touch on it quickly. Lee says, why has Reading got so many injuries already? Are the team not fit enough? Something isn't right. Alistair Hargreave says, Jonathan, have you got any clue on the two injured players? RFC 1871. So should we not be asking what's been happening on the training ground the last 2 years as the amount of injuries are getting beyond a joke? And now Paul Lynch has got them doing yoga twice a week. And that was a discussion on the TT WhatsApp earlier, actually. I mean, if Paul Lynch has only just started getting them to do yoga, I mean, I hope yoga's been a practice in football for an awful long time, because it's almost a perfect exercise for players to, you know, stretch and stuff like that. But Jonathan, you know, it has been a problem the last couple of years. You know, it was a massive issue last season in terms of, you know, we probably had about 14, 15 first team players out at some point, which is, you know, just completely unsustainable. You know, was part of the reason why we were, you know, losing games every week last season. The season's not got off to a good start in that respect again, with a lot of players out. Paul Lynch saying today that there's probably going to be two more players out this weekend against Cardiff. No one really coming back who was on the sidelines last weekend. I suppose to try and answer that in one fell swoop is, A, do you know who those two injured players are that he said, as Alistair says, and B, what the hell is going on in that treatment room?
Right, well, regarding the two players, no, I don't know. All that I do know is that I saw Yaku Mate walking in perfectly fine in front of me at Bearwood this morning to go into training. So on that evidence, he's not one of those players unless he got injured today. But when Ince was talking to us, that was before training. So I'm pretty sure it wasn't Yaku Mate. So no, I don't know who these one or two players are. For obvious reasons, he hasn't revealed it. In terms of what the hell's going on, I don't know. I don't know who knows or who doesn't know. I don't know who wants to reveal or who doesn't want to reveal. I mean, injuries have kind of gone back to, I remember, sort of Yap Stam days, and he had quite a few players out as well. is it a Reading thing? I don't know. I think, you know, all clubs have their fair share of injuries. I'm at a loss. You know, there's obviously various theories about, you know, the training methods and rest periods and decision making. It's a very hard one. You ask them and they say, you know, it's kind of impact injuries, so it's, you know, not necessarily to do with sort of the conditioning side of things. Clearly, you know, someone like Lucas Shaw, the Brighton game, that was a collision, wasn't it, with the Brighton player. Femi Azeez tore his hamstring the day before Blackpool. What he was doing a day before a long trip to Blackpool, such an intense movement to tear his hamstring and be out for 8 months. My part is a bit sort of irresponsible from the coaching staff more than anything to put him through that. There's you know, there could be X number of reasons. Whether we'll ever get to the bottom of it, I don't know. Referring back to his days at Inter Milan and all the stretching and everything and how they never got injuries. So, I hope he puts his foot down and gets them to do exactly what they did at Inter Milan, because nothing else is really working at the moment. So, yes, it's really disappointing. Scott Dan and Sam Atchison are back in training, I think sort of light training, so that is something. But it's extremely frustrating. I'm sure it's extremely frustrating for the players, for the staff, most of all for fans, especially at the stage of the season. It's not a good look. So I will keep digging and try and get some answers, but I feel like we're just going to be going around in circles. And the other thing is that, you know, Ince is saying, like, well, when we get these players back, it's going to be a good team and everything. But you're always going to have players out injured or suspended or for whatever reason, missing through international duty. So it's all part and parcel of the job, and you've got to make do with what you've got and get the best out of the players that you have got available. You can't be using it as an excuse too much, and let's hope that's not the case as the weeks go by.
Yeah, I mean, nothing screams old school manager like Paul Ince saying, we didn't get injuries back in my day. I mean, you almost certainly did, Paul. You probably just got on with it. But his comments last season where he was saying he doesn't like physios, if someone told him he wasn't playing, he was still playing. So, you know, that's just the kind of manager that Paul Ince is, I think. And look, it is difficult. I think it's always hard, because obviously our focus is always going to be on Reading and sort of the injuries that we've had. And it is difficult, I suppose, to... You know, someone, you know, in the wider media maybe needs to look at a wider pool of players, particularly in the Championship. You know, there's been so much Championship football over the last, you know, 2 years. You know, the fixture list has been condensed more than it has been ever been before, you know, since we came back from COVID and had that long period. You know, there was hardly a break in that summer. Fixtures have been condensed. You know, this season, the season has started slightly earlier because of the World Cup, so players have been back in pre-season. They might not have had as much of a break as they usually used to. So, you know, the football calendar certainly isn't helping. I know Mark Bowen said on his pre-season interview with the media that they're looking at, in terms of the players they recruit now, that maybe over the last couple of years they've not done enough due diligence into players in respect of their sort of injury history, in terms of, you know, signing players who, you know, maybe haven't played too much football over the last couple of years. Someone like Femi Azeez, I can't really explain what the hell is going on there. You know, he seems to be, you know, made of glass is a harsh term, but, you know, he seems to be on that treatment table more often than he's not. As Jonathan says, it's more than anything, I think it's frustrating for these players, and, you know, these players don't want to be sat on the sidelines injured. So it's not as if it might be their fault in terms of something they're doing. But, you know, I think the last thing that we should be doing in terms of, you know, players with injuries is having a go at them, because, you know, they I'm sure want to be out there, you know, more than anybody else. They've just had, you know, whether it's luck or whether it's something deeper, hopefully something will come out. But yeah, it's not a situation we want to be in at the moment. Let's drag things back then to transfers then, just to round it up. We've not talked about any potential outgoings so far, which I suppose is a good thing, because we can't really afford, in terms of squad size, to be losing any more players, but they can afford to be losing players if they're on massively high wages and burning a hole in the club's pocket at the moment. I suppose two names, you know, jumped to mind straight away in that regard, and that's Liam Moore and George Puskas. We had a couple of comments from the grapevine from Dobcheck. I was told today we cannot sign Naby Sarr until either George Puskas or Liam Moore off the books. And I was told that Cagliari, that's the Italian side, that George Puskas has been linked with, offered 500 grand up front with 2 million later for Puskas, which we turned down. And he also said Moore is also open to being paid off, but no deal done. Jonathan, obviously, the squad numbers were released last week. No squad number for Liam Moore. Scott Dan has taken his number 6. George Puskas has retained his number 47. But as Dobcheck says, there are, you know, as always, plenty of rumours linking George Puskas with a move back to Italy and to City B. What is the latest on those two? Because obviously, you know, we know Liam Moore is out injured at the moment. It's probably going to be quite difficult to shift him in the next 4 weeks, but I presume, you know, we George Puskas has been posting photos on Instagram of him training, so he's definitely fit. I suppose the plan is to try and get rid of him before the transfer window ends.
Yeah, I think very much so. He came up in conversation today with the manager, and he said he was open to using him, but again, claimed that he wasn't perhaps fully match fit. obviously he did come back slightly later than the rest because of his exploits with Romania and finishing the end of season later with Pisa last season. But I'm sure he could have managed 20 minutes at Blackpool. Clearly, the fact he got left at home and the youngsters got put on the bench ahead of him, I think tells you all you need to know about what he thinks of Puskas. From my point of view, I think it certainly looks as though he's just being cast aside, and because the last thing you want is to him to be chucked in even for just 5-10 minutes, and he picks up an injury and that scuppers a move. So you know, he's obviously taking up a large portion of the wage bill. He's someone who they can get a little bit of money for, if not certainly not the 7.5 million that they got for him, or they paid for him. Sorry. So yeah, I think they're you know, doing as much as they can to get him off the books, either online or permanently. I think it would just be whatever Italian club can stump up the money and stump up, you know, a decent amount, I suppose. $500,000 up front doesn't seem too much, although, you know, we could get to the end of the window and that might have to be it. So, yeah, I think that the priority is very much to get him out. Obviously, he's way down the striking pecking order as well now with Mate Long and Zhao. And Liam Moore's situation, you know, he's still injured and I think, you know, he's, like you said, he's not going to be signed by any club over the next 4 weeks or so. So I think it'll be very much of, you know, I imagine at some point they will come to some sort of agreement and for him to be paid off and he'll then be a free agent and you know, can get himself back up to speed and sign for a club later in the season. So I can't see him being involved at Reading anytime soon or possibly ever again. And, you know, he'll be another one, at least off the wage bill and off the books as well, and will potentially open up a place in the squad as well. So, yeah, I think Puskas certainly should be leaving, I imagine, the next few weeks or so and potentially more, not too long afterwards.
Yeah, question there from Multi. Do we actually know what's happening with Moore? Said he'll be available to Ince, but hasn't been given a squad number. Hopefully that's answered that question. A couple of, you know, thank you very much, everyone who's put in a comment. There's even a couple to finish on. Ben, I'm going to ask you for some positivity because these aren't the most positive comments, but I quite frankly don't blame people at the moment. I've been a Reading fan since 79, seen the glory days, seen the band days. Can't help thinking we are heading into the abyss now. I'm off to do some yoga. Hopefully Paul Ince is there with you. Lee Burgess says Reading will go down this season. Sadly, look like a weak team, and Paul Ince won't last the season. I would agree with that, and I'd be very surprised if Paul Ince was here in 12 months' time. Lee says, think the club should have got a better manager. One more question from Michael Hunter. Do you think questions need to be asked at the head of sports science, Bowen? I presume that's Bowen's son, is it, who's head of sports science, or, you know, in some role, 2 years in the job, and 2 years loads of injuries. Jonathan, a quick one on injuries, as I say, it's the topic of conversation at the moment, and then I'll come to you for some optimism, Ben.
Yep, I'm always the one for negativity, aren't I? yeah, I think certainly his son is involved in the sports science department. Maybe I'll try and get an interview with him, yeah, I mean, so it's difficult to pinpoint any exact reason about what's going on, what's happening. Let's just keep our fingers crossed for Saturday.
Well, Ben, you put a delightful positive thread on before the Blackpool game last week, saying how we were going to prove all the pundits wrong this season and go and beat Blackpool at Bloomfield Road. Obviously, that didn't happen, but please tell me you've got a little bit more of that so we can end on a nice optimistic note.
I'm surprised no one called that out, actually, because I was like, oh, God, I've said we'd win and we haven't. You know, we should have got something out of the game. Whether or not we should have won, don't think so, but certainly a draw would have been fair. But on the balance of play last weekend, in terms of the yoga comment, I can tell you that yoga is brilliant. I've been doing yoga for about 3 years and it's helped me out no end physically. So if you're in doubt, give it a go. That's one positivity I can give you. And I still think we'll stay up. I do, I think. I'm, you know, I like Paul Ince. I like the way he talks. Jury's still out on how he manages the team and tactics and everything else. But you can't, as a fan, I can't disagree with anything he said. And it's refreshing to hear that. Now, the for me, I need to see those words turn into actions and positivity on the pitch. Really, that's all we want to see. this season. And I've always said we just need three worst teams, you know, finish 21st, happy days. Anything above that is a bonus. I still think we will stay up, whether or not that's with Ince, I don't know. I hope it is. I feel like he's earned the right to do that. We've got some good players in the squad. We've just got to win games. Hopefully that starts on Saturday, but I'm definitely not going to say anything about that until the predictions come out tomorrow when we're asked for them from Tyler's End. But I won't be sending out any emotional tweets saying that I think we're going to win, because that doesn't help anybody, least of all me or the team. So, yeah, but I think my genuine feeling is that I think we'll stay up.
Well, for more of that insightful analysis and optimism, you can check out the Tyler Stem pod, because I believe Ben is possibly stepping in to host after his superb hosting debut for the season preview podcast. Obviously, if you haven't listened to the show earlier this week already, Mark Mayo and Adam Jones looked back on the Blackpool opening day defeat and also looked ahead to the game against Cardiff, at home. First home game of the season on Saturday. And then, yes, either me or possibly Ben we'll be hosting the show early next week or on Sunday evening, certainly hopefully before the Stevenage Cup game next week, to look back hopefully on a first win for Reading against Cardiff. But that's just about, there's one more negative comment that's just come in, but I'm not going to flip it up on the screen, because we've finished on some optimism and positivity. So yeah, thank you very much everyone for joining in. Actually, hang on, that is a positive comment. It's a negative and a positive. Ince will be sat before Christmas, but Reading FC will still reach eighth place this season. So, you know, yeah, I will happily take that, to be honest with you. But yeah, there we have it. We've gone on slightly longer than half an hour, but hopefully you've all enjoyed tuning in. Thank you very much for getting involved with the comments. Hopefully we've got a couple more of these still to go before the end of the transfer window. As I say, 4 weeks today is when the transfer window slams shut. But Ben, Jonathan, thank you both very much for joining me this evening. And thank you to all of you who have tuned in to watch. You can listen to this back from the start as a podcast. That'll be out tomorrow morning, or you can watch from the start again on YouTube. Yeah, thank you very much, and come on, you Ars.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Ars!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.